This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you're not looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe in you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the basic principles of communication theory is this idea of filters. When we hear something, we filter that message through our own life experience and through our understandings. Most of the time, we're not even aware that we're filtering. It's just something that we do in order to make sense of the things going on around us. And so for better or worse, when we hear something, our filters kick in and we come to some conclusion about the message we're hearing. And unfortunately, it's not all that uncommon for the hearer to come up in a completely different place from where the speaker was trying to take them. The author, Robert McCloskey, put it this way. He said, "I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." In other words, filters can and do affect our communication. Or as I'm fond of saying, the problem with communication is the illusion that it's taken place. We just don't seem to be able to get over the communication issue. And we see this happening in John's Gospel. John's Gospel is full of long discourses, dialogues between Jesus and the crowds, between Jesus and the Pharisees, and even between Jesus and his own disciples. And very often, the ones listening to Jesus hear something different than what he meant for them to hear. And very often, as happens in our gospel lesson today, the thing that gets filtered out of the conversation is grace. The dialogue in our gospel lesson today, it takes place immediately after Jesus has just done these two incredible acts of grace. He's fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two small fish, and he's walked on water to rescue his disciples who were getting tossed around in a rough sea. And the thing that we know is that these acts were signs in the real world that Jesus was the one who had the seal of approval from God the Father. And it's interesting that both these signs deal with real world issues. Things like hunger and fear. They're just great acts of grace. Proving, I think, that Jesus isn't just concerned with spiritual things. Then and now, Jesus meets us where we are in life. And he ministers to us. Flesh and spirit belong together. And Jesus cares about both. But you notice in our gospel lesson, he's not content to let people just remain forever in the flesh. Because there's more to life than just the physical things. And that's what Jesus is getting at in our gospel lesson today. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." It's a miracle. Hungry people eat, they're filled, and there's 12 baskets of fragments left over. They receive this great gift of grace. And then they're trying to process it. And then their filters kind of kick in. Do you remember how they react? They want to make Jesus king. And the ironic part is that Jesus is king, but he's not the king they want him to be. People want Jesus to be king on their terms, not his terms. And so we see that this entitlement culture isn't something that's brand new. Even back in Jesus' day, the people were looking for rulers who were going to meet their physical needs. And of course, Jesus is quite happy to do that. He feeds the people, but he wants to do more for them than just meet their physical needs. In the first part of our gospel lesson, Jesus starts this long dialogue with the crowd. And if we're paying attention, it sounds a lot like the dialogue he had with the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. Remember, Jesus talks to her about living water. And he's talking to the crowd about bread from heaven. And if we think back, we think about how those dialogues went, we can see that when he's talking to the Samaritan woman, sort of her filter kicks in. And she wonders how Jesus is going to draw water out of a well when he has no rope or no bucket. And when he's talking to the crowd's thinking and they filter this thing out and they can't figure out why it is that a prophet who's teaching them also is feeding them. They sort of marvel at that. And they want to hang around him because he's feeding them. And Jesus, it's noteworthy, he's patient with the crowd. He doesn't mock them because they're following him around for bread. But he doesn't leave them there either. He takes this whole thing to the next step. And he links this idea of bread with God. And remember who these good people are. They're good Jewish people. And so now another kind of a filter kicks in. And maybe they react the same way that you or I would. They can't believe that this feeding of them, whatever that means, could be an act of pure grace. There's got to be a catch to it. And so they want to know what works of God they have to do. Did you catch that? What works do we have to do? Presumably, to earn this bread from God. And it just seems that we all have this kind of innate ability to filter out the grace of God and replace it with works we do to secure God's favor. The problem with communication is the illusion that it's taken place. And so Jesus wants to get the crowd, he wants to get us back on the right track. And so he tells them in no uncertain terms just what the work of God is. Did you catch that? He says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Just believe. Just believe. And if you think about it, this is the key to the universe. This is the key to life on earth. is the key to life eternal with God. And it has nothing to do with work. It has everything to do with believing in Jesus. I mean, could we imagine a more wonderful act of grace than that? We don't have to work to earn God's favor. All we have to do is believe Jesus is who He says He is. And then that very next line in our gospel lesson is really telling, I think. It says something about our human nature and the high place work has in our lives. I mean, Jesus has just assured the crowd that the way to God is through belief. And then do you see what happens? Immediately, they just turn it around on Jesus and demand that Jesus do some kind of sign or miracle so that they can believe in Him. They say, "What sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe in you? What work are you performing?" Whew. Almost like you're saying, "Come on, Jesus. Someone has to do some work here to earn God's favor. If it's not us, it must be you." In other words, they want Jesus to prove He is who He says He is. And I guess they've forgotten all about that thing of feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Or they've forgotten about Him walking on water. We filter out grace when we demand signs of God. Or we insist on thinking somehow that we can work our way into God's heart. John, more than any other gospel writer, makes it clear that the way to God's heart is by believing in Him whom He has sent. And this very act of sending Jesus into the world is by itself a pure act of grace. And all we have to do is look at probably the most famous line in the New Testament, John 3:16, and we get that. John writes, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Get that? God gave. Gave. It's a gift. It's grace. To what end? So that whoever believes in Him has eternal life. Our work, if you can call it work, is just to believe Jesus is who He says He is. And John, this isn't a one-time thing in John's gospel. He really wants to make sure we get this. He couldn't be clearer about it. In fact, he ends chapter 20 with these words. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in His name." Great line. So I want to leave you with one final question. Do we really believe in Jesus? Can we say that we have life in His name if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to change us a little bit from the inside out? We think about our lessons and we see that the crowd had it wrong. And the woman at the well had it wrong, thinking that Jesus was only talking about physical bread and water. They filtered out the spiritual things Jesus was talking about. And I just wondered, do we make a similar mistake? But we err in the other direction sometimes. Do we filter out the physical? Do we somehow think that believing in Jesus is only some kind of a mental exercise? Flesh and spirit belong together. And our life is more than just the physical. And it's more than just the spiritual. Jesus wants to minister to both parts of our life. Physical and spiritual. And when His Spirit is within us, we'd be crazy not to think that there are going to be changes in our physical life as well as in our spiritual life. In fact, Jesus warns us in Matthew's gospel about making our faith strictly a spiritual exercise. He says in Matthew chapter 7, "Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. We think about it, that's kind of a sobering passage, isn't it? And it argues against this idea of faith being strictly a spiritual or a mental exercise. In fact, Jesus' harshest words, his criticism was for the hypocrites who acted towards God in one way and acted in a completely different way towards their fellow human beings. You know, they could recite the prayers perfectly, and then with that same mouth, devour widows' houses, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 12. It's just no good crying, Lord, Lord, if we live our lives in such a way that, you know, we just leave a path of destruction and chaos behind us. Does flesh and spirit belong together? It's not either or. Jesus calls on us to be both and kind of people. And in Jesus' day, some people looked religious on the outside. They worked and worked to live into these 613 Jewish laws that show up in the Old Testament. And yet, we know that their hearts were far away from God and from other people. And Jesus blasts them for that. That's not the way you're supposed to live. And it would seem almost like our gospel lesson was just written specifically for that kind of mentality. Because then, remember, Jesus redefines the work of God. And we do God's work simply by believing in Jesus. But being a follower of Jesus isn't just about thinking spiritual thoughts. When we're so completely self-satisfied that there's no room in our hearts for the Holy Spirit to start changing our behavior, we're in a pretty bad neighborhood at that point. I think that's what the Apostle Paul is getting at in our second lesson when he's saying the mission of the church is to bring us to maturity in Christ. And that just doesn't happen unless we experience positive change in our physical lives, how we live our lives, as well as in our spiritual lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, with God's help, we can be both and kind of people. We can receive God's gift of grace with thankful hearts and knowing that the best work we can do is to believe in Jesus. And at the very same time, we can invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that He can change us from the inside out. It says so much about the grace and goodness of God that even our ability to bear good fruit comes about because of a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we take no credit for that. Believing in Jesus, really believing in Jesus, means making room in our heart for the gift of the Spirit. As flesh and spirit belong together. Thanks be to God.